Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to continue today on the theme of reflecting on the apostolic proclamation that Jesus Christ is Lord, and how when we live, as Paul said, when we live with the knowledge and just know that God's word, the word, Paul says in Romans 10, that was preached to us, is near to us. He said it's in our hearts. Because that word, when it's received, the only way it penetrates the heart is through the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the word of God is living and active. And the destiny of the word is the human heart. And to penetrate to the core of our being and to shine light into the darkness of each one of our hearts, your heart, my heart, that is, to shine the light of Christ and to be given what Jeremiah and Isaiah and others promised, to be given a new heart, a heart of flesh, the heart of Jesus, the heart of God's love, to be brought into the love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that is a reality that includes a revelation. Jesus called being baptized in the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the plunging, the immersion into the Holy Spirit is a baptism into the reality of who Jesus is, that he's Lord and Christ, that he's the Savior, that he comes to save. And so we've been looking at different passages this week, yesterday, day before, touching on Acts chapter 5, powerful encounter of Peter, who had been transformed by the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and part of that was he was given clarity and confidence and power and courage, and it was literally transforming him now. He's a different guy. He's the same person, but he's brought into now what Jesus promised, to clothe him with power from on high. And Peter goes forward, as he said, and he's in chapter 5, and the leaders are trying to intimidate him into silence, and he and the other apostles, and they said, we can't stop proclaiming what we've been given. We must obey God rather than men. That's a good word we ought to just repeat more and more in our day as the world gets a little more hostile each day toward the gospel and the claims of Christ and the commands that he has set before everybody and the life the church is meant to live in the world. And we need to speak to ourselves. That's right. St. Peter, pray for me. Help me remember. Holy Spirit, help me remember. We must obey God rather than men. And that includes having a holy fear of God rather than a silly, foolish fear of men. Because the Lord is dealing in eternities and the world is dealing in temporaries. And Jesus is dealing in ultimate realities. And the world is dealing in passing realities, and Jesus is the ultimate authority that no one would ever cross, and that even Satan and the demons tremble just at his name. We shouldn't tremble at the name of certain men and powerful people that we want to accept us or pay attention to us, or we think somehow they hold our lot. Only God holds your lot, ultimately, friends, because this world is passing. It's a passing shadow. It's here today and gone tomorrow. So here's the reality of the eternal perspective that Peter's living in. And as he said to those religious leaders who are very angry at him and they're threatening him, he said, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. And God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior and gave repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And he goes on to say, and we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. There it is. Do you see how Peter's aware of what happened to him and what he's been given? And he knows who he is. Who am I? I'm simply here to testify. And I testify to the truth that Jesus was dead and now he's alive. And not only is he alive, he's at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. He has been exalted. He is exalted to the highest place possible. He's brought human flesh in himself into the Godhead, and he's at the throne of God at the right hand of the Father, and all power and authority belongs to Jesus and to no one else. It belongs to him. He's the final judge. He's totally vindicated. Everything he said, He's completely vindicated, and we're here to testify. We're done hiding. We're done running. We're done protecting ourselves. We're not going to live in fear of men anymore because we know the destiny of the human race. We know what we've been given. And so Peter says, we testify to this. And who else testifies? The Holy Spirit. Peter knew it. Why? Because he was experiencing it in himself, the fulfillment of what Jesus told him. He said, if you follow me, if you trust in me, if you abide in me, if you're baptized into me and you repent and you turn and come after me, I will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit to lead you on that path. He'll give you the words to speak. He'll give you the strength that you need. And Peter's clear, the Holy Spirit has been given to all those who obey Jesus. Isn't that interesting? And this is, I think, a lesson I've seen and many have through life, that baptism is not just a one-time thing. Of course, there is being baptized into Christ. Yes, that happened, and the new life began. But the Lord keeps giving more and more of the Spirit to who? To those who obey him. And there's many, many people who are baptized who kind of live in neutral. They're not going anywhere. They're not putting it in the car in gear, so to speak. They're not stepping into the commands of the Lord and the mission that the Lord, the assignment that the Lord wants to give. Everybody's been given an assignment, an internal assignment, obviously, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor, that it begins internally, that kind of love, but it expresses itself in callings and responsibilities and stepping into those and bearing witness to the Lord. And he said that the more you do these things, here's a principle, the more you step into the Lord's mission for yourself, and the more you obey the Lord in communicating his life to others. The same words that the apostles got. He said, go tell everybody about this life. And that means friends, neighbors, whoever the Lord leads us to. And the more we do it, the more we step out, the more we're going to experience the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. The more we live in neutral, the less we're going to experience the Holy Spirit. And we're going to experience the Christian life as a kind of drudgery. I'm slogging along under my own resources and feel like I'm hardly making any progress, and I feel distant from God, and he doesn't seem to pay any attention to me, all that sort of thing. Very common experience. But for people who are hungering for him, obeying him, stepping into, remember Jesus said his food was to do the will of the Father. It was his joy to be in communion with the Father and to hear the voice of the Father. It made Jesus' heart sing. And the commands were a joy. They were not, oh man, are you kidding? I have to do this? Oh, shoot. Oh man, it's going to ruin my weekend, or it's just so boring or so difficult, or I don't even know the point of it. These kinds of things. Jesus, are you kidding? Every word that comes from the mouth of my Father is food. It is life-giving. That's really what the saints were like and are like today. Every word that comes from the Spirit of God living and dwelling in us, they know something many, many, many people baptized into Christ don't even know, because they haven't yet engaged the Word of God and the reality of what's been accomplished in them and the gift they've been given. It's like having received an astounding gift and don't even know that you have it. And when that happens, friends, when sacraments are just rituals that don't produce life change because they're not received in faith, and they're stunting, and we're stunted, and the gifts are not activated, Christianity is like being in a club or something. It doesn't have power. So people say, this doesn't make any difference in my life. This is why, friends, many, many people now in a challenging time that we're living in, leave the church. Inherited faith, you know, just kind of, well, my parents didn't, I got it now too. It can't stand at a time like this, when the culture isn't celebrating and reinforcing faith and recognizing it and celebrating. The powerful people aren't moving in that direction publicly. And it looks like there may be a cost to this. Inherited faith is just, it's not enough. Conversion, converted faith continues to thrive in whatever environment. People who are genuinely converted to Jesus and living with him and hungering and thirsting and seeking him. The promises of Jesus are full. If you go on, then the apostles not only testify to the fact that the Holy Spirit is given to all those who obey, the more we obey, the more we say yes to the things that Jesus is calling us to do each day, the more he's going to give us, the more of his Spirit to walk in and accomplish it, the more we can grow. And I love it at the end of this section in chapter 5. It says the religious leaders, here's how they ultimately responded. I mean, Gamaliel, the Pharisee, said, look, we're better off just letting these guys go, because if it's from God, we cannot stop it. If it's not from God, it's not going to make it anyway. So here's what they decide. It says, so they took his advice, that is the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let him go. Well, did the apostles feel like, oh man, this is too hard, or where's God? You know, here I am testifying and I'm standing up for him, and what ends up happening? I get thrown in jail or I get beaten unjustly. Instead, what the apostles do is they end up rejoicing over these things and they say, wow, this is just exactly what Jesus said would happen. And guess what? It's not that bad. We're just rejoicing because we can love Jesus in this way. And we know that God's glory is on us. And friends, they've entered a different reality. They've entered the reality of the kingdom. They're never bored. That's the great thing about saints. They're never bored because they know what they're living in. They know whom it is who has laid hold of them, who it is. The reading goes on. Verse 41, then they left the presence of the council. What did they do? They rejoiced that they were counted worthy of suffering dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Isn't that interesting? It just kind of makes me laugh. All the intimidation of the Sanhedrin. All right, we're going to beat you. So they beat him to intimidate them into silence. And they say, don't you say another word about him, essentially. And then it says, they leave saying, Lord, thank you. They're celebrating. Lord, thank you that we were beaten for you. What a gift. And then they turn around and they go right back into the temple and they preach and teach every day. They do the exact opposite of what the powers of the world and the powers set against God are telling them to do. What a gift to be that free, to move from where the apostles were before the resurrection and where they are now after the day of Pentecost. And it's beautiful because it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' instruction, to the ministry of the word and the rest. And it says in chapter 6, verse 7, just a few verses beyond their celebration of what they endured for the glory of God. Verse 7, it says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Isn't that something? Even the priests, the religious leaders were coming to faith. And what was the great strategy of the apostles? Was it a motivational speech? Was it just better organization? No, they testified. They bore witness to who Jesus is, that he's the only Savior of the world, that he's Lord in Christ, that all authority belongs to him, that he's calling everyone now to repent and come and receive the forgiveness of sins. And then they took hits for it, and they bore witness, and God used them. Friends, we need to walk in those footsteps. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.